There's news that two lower-cost airlines that are picky about carry-ons are merging. I'm David Brancaccio. Frontier is buying Spirit Airlines for about $3 billion. Spirit's boss says this is about ultra-low consumer-friendly fares, but antitrust regulators will review. You may see headlines later today valuing this at $6.6 billion, but that's when Spirit's debt and other liabilities are rolled in. No word yet on who will lead the management team or layoffs. The Biden administration is getting stricter on exports to China. Today, it raised questions about 33 China-based importers that it can't verify as legitimate. Do these companies have links to China's military? What exactly do they want to do with the U.S. goods, including technology? Meanwhile, in Beijing, there are U.S. athletes competing in the Winter Games, but no U.S. officials. The Biden people have orchestrated a diplomatic boycott over what's described as genocide, crimes against humanity, and other human rights abuses in China. As Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports, human rights groups and members of Congress have also been putting pressure on companies that sponsor the games to pull out or speak up.
None of the pressure on companies sponsoring this year's Olympics seems to have had any effect.
There's deafening silence.
Dipanjan Chatterjee is an analyst at Forrester, and he says many companies are saying,
look, this is an arrangement that oftentimes we've entered into well ahead of the choice of a host nation. Our sponsorship is connected to the Olympics as an institution.
But he says companies are also afraid to risk angering China and potentially losing out on a huge market.
American corporations know that the Olympics will pass and that we'll move on to other issues, so they are mostly remaining mute.
Robert Daly at the Wilson Center says that approach worked in 2008, the last time China hosted the Olympics, and there was similar pressure on sponsors.
However, in the longer term, they will continue to have an issue.
Because, he says, increasingly, consumers and investors are paying attention to companies' values and factoring them in when deciding where to spend. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Now that it's pretty clear that U.S. central bankers will engineer an interest rate increase next month, there's an unofficial derby among analysts to guess how big that increase will be. Most say 0.25% to start on March the 16th. But then the Atlanta Fed president was quoted some days ago in the Financial Times, not ruling out 0.5%. On Mondays, we turn to economist Julia Coronado, president of Macro Policy Perspectives.
What the Fed is doing is telling the financial markets that they're going to raise rates as much as they need to bring inflation under control. But they want to go about this in a steady fashion so as not to derail the economy. So far, the market is listening and pricing in some more rate hikes, and interest rates are moving higher. And that's exactly how policy works. They don't necessarily need to confuse the situation by doing surprise or shocking moves.
But maybe the surprise or shocking moves might have a bigger effect. Like, we're serious about this inflation business.
But again, the market sees them as serious and is pricing in rate hikes, and that will cool off demand. And that is, again, how monetary policy affects inflation. And adding confusion and market volatility could actually threaten a hard landing for the economy, which is not what the Fed wants.
All right, Julia. Well, I have not approved your time off request for the 16th of March. You need to be at your desk on the day that the Fed concludes its next meeting, okay?
All right, I'll be here.
Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you.
My pleasure.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The music and podcast service Spotify will not remove its podcast star Joe Rogan after a video compilation surfaced showing him repeatedly using a racial slur. Rogan has been under fire after top musicians started pulling their songs from Spotify because of COVID misinformation spread on Rogan's podcast. The incidents put a spotlight on Spotify's business model. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Spotify paid Joe Rogan $100 million to exclusively publish his popular show. That's because podcasting is key to Spotify's future, credited with driving the company's advertising sales, its fastest growing income source. Here's CEO Daniel Ek in an earnings call last week.
Last quarter, we confirmed that Spotify had become the number one podcast platform U.S. listeners use the most, and we continue to see meaningful market share gains.
But for now, music streaming is Spotify's bread and butter, and prominent musical artists are leading the charge against Rogan. The latest is India RE, who posted video of Rogan repeatedly using a racial slur.
Spotify is built on the back of the music streaming. So they take this money that's built from streaming and they pay this guy $100 million. I don't want to generate money that pays this. Just take me off.
Rogan has apologized and said he hasn't used the racial slur in years. In a letter to employees, CEO Daniel Ek signaled he's standing behind Rogan, but promised to spend another $100 million for content from what he called historically marginalized groups. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
It's been nearly 5 years since the company behind the Snapchat app started selling stock to the public, and last week, for the first time, Snap reported a profit. The company also said that 319 million people are now using Snapchat daily, up 20% from the year before. One of the things Snap is known for is augmented reality, these little filters you can add to photos to, say, give yourself a mustache or a cowboy hat. As Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports, Snapchat's growth could be a sign of an augmented future.
During the pandemic, lots of people tried augmented reality, not always on purpose. Remember the lawyer in Texas who accidentally got a kitten filter stuck when he appeared virtually in court?
I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
He did eventually figure out how to get the cat filter off, and it's a good example of how people became willing to experiment, says Forrester analyst James McQuivey.
The pandemic really put everyone in a place where those tools became front and center to how they live their lives.
And now there's more demand for those tools. Augmented reality designer Andre Elijah said his work has evolved from creating games for companies like Snap and Fortnite to helping people shop.
Now it's turned into a digital storefront where, you know, you can do virtual try-ons of clothes and press a button and order them.
That kind of augmented reality has a lot of business possibilities. Chad Eichhoff runs Trick3D, which is designing an app for Delta Airlines.
Delta Airlines, they have a museum called the Delta Flight Museum that showcases their history and experiences with old aircraft. So we are launching the augmented reality app that assists when you visit the airline to bring those exhibits to life.
So when people visit the museum, which is in Atlanta, they can view an actual plane, hold up their phones, and see a virtual Delta pilot start talking to them.
Hello, good to see you, and thanks for choosing Delta. I'll be your pilot and would love to tell you a little about the aircraft you'll fly on today.
But people may not always be tied to their phones. That's why companies are working on augmented reality glasses. Right now, Forrester analyst James McQuivey says the technology just isn't good enough.
I don't think we're there yet. I don't even know that we have the BlackBerry of these devices yet. We're in the Nokia stage. Let's call it that. We're in the Nokia phone stage with the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I don't know if you even know that one.
Anyway, it's still early days. McQuivey says once those augmented reality glasses are good enough, we might wear them all the time. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Instead of a mustache or a cat face, I'm looking for an app that adds equanimity or perspicacity, not to the image, but to the character. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.